It is great to see you all this morning. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here in the building at Azalea City and those who are virtually joining us here at Azalea City. You know, it's amazing as I talked just a week ago or so about how important it is to see God that you can see a lot of blessings, isn't it? It's amazing to me that the more we look, the more we find when it comes to the way God is answering prayers or taking care of us, even when we didn't expect Him to take care of us. You know, and it's just in today's time, when there's trouble, when there's heartache, when there's just everyday reminders of how frustrating life can be, I do not want us for once to take for granted the blessings that are in our lives. You know, for me, it's pretty cool this morning that my son, who prayed in his prayer for his dad to be able to, you know, for my son to pray for me before I stand up here, that's a blessing. And if I'm not looking for blessings, I may miss that. You may miss that. And so what I want to do today is for our focus, and again, that's our theme this year, our focus in all this distracting times to be on the blessings that God gives us. And the way to do that is I want to illustrate it in John chapter 21. When it comes to textual versus topical type Bible sermons, I try to keep a variety of both. And I try to do that, and I hope that comes across in my lessons. But today is as strict a textual sermon as I can give you. It's going to come from John chapter 21. And, you know, as Bo read to us this morning from what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, that we are to rejoice always. Again, I know there are hard times, but we're to rejoice always. We're to pray without ceasing. We talked this morning and challenged our group that met in class this morning to pray like Jesus prayed. And that's not just a simple glancing, "Dear Lord, help me have a great day." Again, that's a prayer. I'm not going to argue that. But I'm talking about going to war, setting aside a time where if we got to get on our knees, lay prostrate on the ground, whatever it may be, we have every day that we pray without ceasing. And then everything we do, we give thanks. Whether it's good times, whether it's bad times, whether it's mediocre times, we give thanks. Why? Because it is the will of God for us to be thankful people. And so in John 21, what's going on? Jesus has died on the cross. In John 14, He told them, as they were very distraught, as they were very hurt, as they were very troubled, He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." And that's what Jesus is telling them. Don't be troubled. But guess what? They were still troubled. Because Jesus had told them, "I'm going to die and I'm going to be raised on the third day." And none of them are at the tomb. In fact, Peter's denied Him, and he's gone out, and he's cried, and he's miserable, and he doesn't know what else to do, and that's what we're going to pick up in John 21 in a moment. The rest of them are not, they're scattered. Now, Mary has gone back and sent for all the disciples and Peter, and remember, John and Peter have a race. John gets there first, and so anyhow, long and short of it, we pick up in John 21, and they know that Jesus is resurrected. But Peter's still down and out. Listen to this. "After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples." He shows up at the Sea of Tiberias. "And in this way, He showed Himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of His disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, 'I'm going fishing.' They said to him, 'We're going with you also.' They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing." I mean, let's break this down, okay? Again, it's going to be all from the text here today. And I want you to see this scene. Peter said to Jesus at one time in his life, "I will never deny you." He was so passionate about not denying Jesus. When they came to arrest him, we learn that one of the soldiers is named Malchus. Peter draws his sword and says, "You're not arresting my friend," and he swings for his head. Malchus ducks it, I'm sure, and he cuts off his ear. Jesus heals him and says, "Peter, I've got to do these things." You know, that's the same Peter who Jesus is girded himself and he's washing the disciples' feet. And Peter said, "Oh no, you're not washing my feet." He said, "Peter, if I don't wash you, you don't have any part with me." He said, "Well, then wash my whole body." Peter just didn't fully sometimes grasp. I believe with all his heart, he had the mindset that I'm never going to deny you, but then he did. "Do you know this man?" "No, I don't know him." "Well, you kind of talk like him. You kind of sound like him." "No, I don't know him." Even to the point of using profane talk, he denied who Jesus Christ was. And it's about that time he hears the rooster crow. And he goes out and he weeps bitterly, and now he's down on his luck. Well, they say, "Hey, he's not there." He gets there and he sees he's not there, and now it's like, I missed my chance. I've blown it. So in John 21, we pick up, and what does Peter know? He knows fishing. Remember when Jesus called him and he told him to let down your nets? And Peter's like, I know fishing, but you know what? I'll do it anyhow. And of course, the catch was remarkable. The very first time Jesus called Peter, he saw the spectacular. Well, here we are in John 21. What does Peter need to see? Some spectacular. Because Peter is as low as he could be, I would imagine. And so what does he do? He goes fishing. Why? Because he knows fishing. And he knows he's good at fishing. John and all of them are like, "Hey, you know what? Let's get back to some normal. We'll go with you. That's what we do. We haven't done it in a long time now. We're going fishing." And they're going to go out there, and some of you know, they fish for a living, but sometimes you go out and you get everything off your mind. You can fish, you can see God and all that, especially if you're catching fish. Well, they caught nothing. It's about as low as they could get. I imagine Peter's not seeing a lot of blessings. I imagine he's not looking around and seeing God. Perhaps Peter is slipping off back into the world that Jesus called him away from. But remember, Jesus has big plans for Peter. He needs Peter to take those spiritual keys, those figurative keys that he gave him, and unlock the figurative door to the kingdom as we know the church. So what else happens? Verse 4. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" And can you imagine? They don't know who this guy is. Are you kidding me? I mean, they fished all night. They're tired. They're grumpy. Peter's low and everything else. I imagine he just wanted to say, "Man, go beg from somebody else. I don't have anything myself. How am I going to have anything for you?" Can you imagine? Can you see it? Can you see the hurt? Can you see the anger? Can you see the frustration? Can you see that he didn't recognize that was Jesus Christ? I want to pause for a moment there and say, how many times has Jesus Christ stood right in front of us and we didn't recognize it? How many times have blessings stood right in front of us and our focus was on all the other misery of the world? And we missed who was standing on the shore. Verse 6, he said to them, very familiar phrase, right? "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." So they cast. And now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Now it's starting to register. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. Now I want to pause there for a moment. If you're reading John 21, and I've read John 21 a lot in my life, and I've never really let it register, but if you notice, I put on the bulletin this week that number. And I asked the question, does it mean anything to you? And then the next question was, should it? Well, I'm going to tell you today that that number hasn't ever really meant anything to me. But today, in this point forward, I believe it should. You see, as I study the Bible and I know the Bible, and we know that all Scripture is God-breathed, right? God breathed His Holy Spirit into all the men who penned these words, and they penned exactly what God wanted them to. For whatever reason, John, who is the author and the apostle in this book, and the one whom Jesus loved, as he referred to himself, he counted every one of those fish. And he wrote down that we called 153. Now, if you go and you study this, there are people that want to read a whole lot into it, okay? They want to read a whole lot into why it was the number it was and all that. I'm not here to do that. I'm not here to bore you with those things, which are all just hypothetical. People really don't know. Here's what I want you to understand. Three things about this morning that I hope, as it has inspired me, that it will inspire you. And you will not forget to count your many blessings. That's what John did. And so, here's what I want you to see. Number one, one that day, one fish would have been a victory. But Jesus gave him 153. One fish, you think about it. Peter was miserable. He didn't know what else to do. So, he goes out and he's like, hey, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to go fishing. It didn't say they caught a couple. It said they fished that night and caught nothing. So if they did, how many times they dropped those nets, pull them up, drop those nets, pull them up, drop those nets, pull them up, drop those nets, pull them up. I don't know. I don't know how many times you can do that in the course of a night, and I don't know how many times they did. But here's what I do know. Every single time they pulled it up, there was no fish in there. Could you imagine at 2 or 3 in the morning, at least one jumps in there? You think, okay, maybe we got something now. But it was failure after failure after failure after failure until Jesus showed up. And then He said, I'm not going to give you one. I'm not going to give you two. I'm not going to give you 10. I'm not going to give you 20. I'm not going to give you 50. I'm not going to give you 75. I'm going to give you, for whatever reason, 153. Because that's who Jesus Christ is. That's who our God is. Today, I got to wear a mask. I got to wash my hands. I got to do all these things. I got to social distance. I got to keep away. I got to worry about storms. I got to worry about this. I got to worry about that. I don't have enough money. I don't have this. I don't have that. There's a political war going on and all these and this life and everything else going on that sometimes we forget to see the 153 blessings in front of us. Sometimes you're like me, and you're just looking for one. But the more we open our eyes and the more we see, there's a whole lot more than one. And I think it's so fitting that John, now again, I know he's inspired by the Holy Spirit, but he sat there and counted every one of them. Boy, it sure goes to the song, count your many blessings, name them one by one. How many times have we failed to see all the blessings in front of us? How many times have we missed it? How many times have we lost and been distracted and focused on the zero? Maybe it didn't go our way, right? And we focused on that. Maybe we had a bad day and we focused on that. You know, sometimes I remember telling you this a long time ago now. I broke a tooth on a Slim Jim. And you know, I was so frustrated, like, how it was a little gristle, you know. It wasn't just a Slim Jim. But, you know, and I remember thinking to myself, that's so frustrating. You know, I wasn't eating something real hard. I was eating a Slim Jim, and I broke my tooth. But then I thought, how many times have I chewed with that tooth? How many times have I had a perfectly good meal? You see, it depends on how we look at things, right? Sometimes we can focus on, it's so frustrating and I'm so mad and I'm so this and that. But there's 153 blessings right in front of us. Don't miss the significance of that number. But then there's something else I want you to see in this. Peter did the dragging. Now, granted, if you look back at the text, Peter didn't wait on them to begin with. As they're trying to get that little boat in, Peter puts his clothes on and he jumps in because why? Because where did he left Jesus? What were the last words that he remembered? He remembered Jesus saying, Peter, you tell me you won't deny me, you'll die with me. He said, before that rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. Oh, no. The last thing he hears are those words echoing through his brain. When that rooster crows, Jesus warned me, Jesus told me, Jesus warned me, Jesus told me, and here I've denied him. I go to the tomb to find him and he's not there. So I'm just going to go fishing. But Jesus showed up. And he jumps in. But if you look at the text, it says the other disciples came in the little boat, that's verse 8, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have not just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. I think about that and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Because here's Peter, the man who had failed Jesus. He had failed him in so many ways. But Jesus recognized something in Peter, and that was a great strength. Peter had such a zeal about him. Now, sometimes his zeal was completely wrong, right? But here's Peter and John. Again, it's in the water, and so it's a little bit easier, but they have to row and everything. And I say Peter and John, James and John, and maybe Andrew there and the other fishermen, and they get that boat to sea, or they get that boat to land. But when it comes time for Jesus said, y'all bring me some of those fish, Peter's the one who jumped up. He didn't say, Andrew, James, John, let's go get it. He went and got all those fish in that net, and with great strength, pulled them to Jesus. You see, sometimes we have great intentions. I'm going to be on fire for God. Today is a new day. I failed Him. I hadn't been at worship. I hadn't done this. I hadn't read. I hadn't studied. And today I'm fired up. Terry, you've got me fired up. I'm going to go home. But then Monday comes. And that rooster crows. And all these things happen. And we go out and we waste and we spend all this time and we finally say, God, where are you? But you remember we were handpicked. And you were handpicked because you have a great strength. You have a great talent. And we've got to use that strength and we've got to use that talent to bring our gifts and our lives and our all to Jesus Christ. Peter said, I'll get the fish. I mean, you can just see the change in him that quick, right? At the beginning of this day, he doesn't know what else to do except fish. And he's now a loser. At least he feels at catching fish. But in the course of a few moments, his life has taken on a whole new identity. He's back. he dragged the fish to Jesus Christ. And because he dragged the fish to Jesus Christ, he was able to take those keys. After he and Jesus had that conversation, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" He was actually able to take those keys that Jesus gave him in Matthew 16, and in Acts chapter 2, after Jesus has left them, he opens those keys to the kingdom that we know today. What are we bringing to Jesus? Peter didn't bring his misery. Oh, he was miserable. Peter didn't bring his frustrations. I'm sure he was frustrated. Peter brought his gifts. He brought all 153 of those blessings. And he drug them before Jesus in a sense to say, "Here I am. Use me." What are we doing with our strengths? What are we doing with our talents? What are we doing with our abilities? Have we forgotten them? Have we lost focus on them? Are we using them to the glory of God? Then finally this morning, as I think about 153, another detail that John gives us in this text is this. They were all large. If you go back and you look at that verse 11, Simon Peter went up, dragged the net full of large fish. 153. You know, I think it's funny, and I'll probably say it till I die, but we say, "Man, that was just a little blessing." I want you to know this today, there are no little blessings. There were no little fish. In all 153, they were all large. In all 153 that John took and he counted, right? Because he recorded it. All of those large fish were right there in the water. They were right there around them. But because they had not taken time to see Jesus, they couldn't see Him. But then Jesus shows up. And then all those large fish are in those nets. How many times have we missed those large blessings? How many times have we forgotten the large blessings? It's real easy to get negative. It really is. It's real easy to turn on the news or turn on social media. For me, and I'll confess to you, sometimes I can do that and I can get real down and I can get real frustrated. I can get frustrated at a stance that somebody's taken or this and that. And, you know, I think, well, I'll just ignore it. Well, then I'll go and get on there and I'll see something else and I'm like, oh, I'll just ignore it. Well, then what happens? Satan starts to creep in and it's like I've forgotten all the good things, right? And I want to get aggravated and I want to get mad. So it's either one or three things, right? Well, number one, I'm just going to delete it and get rid of it. Number two, I'm just going to stay off it. Or number three, I'm just going to block that person. If it's Facebook, if that is, or whatever. My point of it is, sometimes we get so wrapped up in garbage that we forget the blessings that are in the net. And they're not small blessings. They're large blessings. Sometimes we talk to somebody and we might be feeling good and, "Hey man, it's a great day, this and that." "Yeah, but it sure is hot." "Yeah, but it's going to rain." "Yeah, but my body's hurting." "Yeah, but this." "Yeah, but that." "Yeah, the church is great. I love the church." "Yeah, but so and so goes there." "Yeah." And not long if we're not, we've forgotten about all those large fish. All those large blessings. So today, as we get ready to close this out, I want you to remember the 153. John counted them. And I think that's pretty neat. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. I want to challenge us to find time to stop and reflect and count every one of them. And oh, they may seem small to some, they're really large to us. One would have been a victory, but Jesus gave him 153. Peter could have made life easier with some help, but he took it upon himself to bring his blessings before God. In all of that, none of the blessings were small. Today, I don't know where it'll take you from here. I don't know if you'll go to a restaurant. Some are still not doing that. I don't know if you'll go to your family's home or you'll go to your own home. Tomorrow, I don't know. Some are retired. Some will get up and go to work. Some will go to school. Wednesday night, we will not gather back in this building, but we will gather online and some will tune in and some won't. Sunday will be here again and we'll expect to be fired up again, but I wanted to urge you not to wait on Sunday. I want you to start today. Wherever you are in your life right now, I want you to take time to reflect on the way God's blessed you. I want you to see every one of those blessings. Reflect on every one of those blessings. And bring every one of those blessings before Him. And thank God for those blessings. Because when we do that, we open doors. We preach the good news. And multitudes respond. That's exactly what happened with Peter. And that's exactly what can happen to us today. 153. How many is it for you? Today, if you've forgotten, it's time to change. It's time to reflect. It's time to focus on the good.